I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Susan Kudla-Finn. Susan is a dynamic leader, compelling communicator, and highly skilled lobbyist with an impressive track record leading seven diverse nonprofit organizations, most recently as president and CEO of the Alzheimer's Association's National Capital Area Chapter. She currently teaches in the project management curriculums at Georgetown and George Washington University and serves as a strategic consultant to corporate leaders, senior government officials, and nonprofit organizations. She is globally certified in project management. Susan is an editor of the Complete Guide to Nonprofit Management and holds an MA in Legislative Affairs from George Washington University and a BA in American Government from Georgetown University, where she also completed postgraduate work in international business. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you on. Susan, you have an extensive career with all sorts of organizations. What's it like to be solo compared to being in a big organization?
David, I think the important distinction between working with large, diverse organizations and employees associated with those organizations and being solo is that you are responsible to yourself and yourself only. Accountability, responsibility, planning, all the specific project management skill sets that are important in not only building a business, but in retaining clients and in growing your business. So I think that the focus being on self-discipline and driving success in your business is really a solo act. And in other organizations and other circumstances, much more responsibility for diverse staff and personnel.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to differentiate the two, Susan. How long have you been solo?
I've been a solopreneur for 20 years.
Long time.
It is, with one exception, being invited to, and it was an honor to be invited to serve as CEO of the Alzheimer's Association's National Capital Area. So with one exception, 20 years.
And were you serving as the CEO of the Alzheimer's Association concurrently with being a solopreneur, or was it sequential?
It was sequential. The understanding was the responsibility was significant and one that that required my complete and undivided attention for the organization. So I suspended my business temporarily to take on that assignment at their request.
And what's it like to shift from being solo to running a big organization and then back to being solo?
The fortunate part of my diverse experience is that I was practiced in both. Lots of experience working with diverse boards of directors, with many different volunteers across the Northeast, and then the discipline around building a business. So I had both, fortunately, as part of my repertoire of experience, but they are different, and it is important to be aware of what it takes to make the switch to be successful.
Right. And also in your description of being responsible for yourself and being a project manager for yourself as being a project manager where you're responsible for the outcomes produced by other people, I would imagine that there are some big differences in what it's like to hold yourself accountable versus holding other people accountable.
There is. And I think this is where my passion resides, and that is in lifelong learning and continuous growth and professional development, not only for myself, but for those with whom I work. And so what becomes important in leading others is the ability to effectively communicate vision, mission, goals, to have the rigor and discipline around strategic planning and have a plan and be able to communicate it effectively with a communications plan. when you are working solo, all those processes are really important around the planning and being able to articulate the plan to prospects. But with staff, really important to get buy-in and support so that they understand and have that sense of purpose and passion as you do.
Mm. And when it's just you and there is no staff, then what?
Self-motivation and that sense of purpose becomes even more important. The ability to also reach out to others who are supportive, friends, colleagues, family members, and also those professional contacts in networks serve to provide me at least with that sense of camaraderie and support and encouragement that I think is so important for solopreneurs so they don't feel isolated and alone.
Yeah, no, it can be a very isolating experience. I totally agree with you. What experience have you had as a solopreneur that you can share that might help other solopreneurs understand what they can do differently to try to improve generating consistent, stable revenue? Because that's a big challenge for a lot of people.
It is. And it's a daily challenge because it's about more money coming in than going out, having fixed costs, wanting to make sure that you're not making business decisions and accepting clients strictly based on a revenue concern rather than a sense of purpose and passion. So I think what becomes very important is to get out from behind your desk. Important to plan, important to put the plan in place, and then important to get out from behind your desk and network. Networking with business contacts, looking for opportunities to use your skills and talents in volunteering. In my case, a number of business opportunities were generated from my working with a support group for those people who were in transition in employment, had left their jobs for a variety of reasons, and now were looking to explore new career opportunities. And it was in that context of reaching out and helping others to help build their confidence, to help them with their plan and development, that I was called upon to help a number of nonprofit organizations in their work.
Mm. Tell me a little bit more about how those kinds of connections and helping people who are in transition ended up leading to work with clients.
Well, let me, if I paint the picture in words, to describe a monthly board meeting of those who were in transition, along with support group members who had their own businesses or, in fact, were leading organizations, both in the public sector as well as in the nonprofit sector. So those people, as we joined together to support those in transition, were able to observe what I brought to the table and how I positioned questions. In other words, they had a chance to observe the skill sets that I brought to offer those in transition and were able to then reflect on how I might be able to help them with their organizations as they led change in their organizations, as they worked with board members in their organizations, and how I could be a trusted senior strategic advisor to them in that process.
Mm. And what was the initial purpose for you of running this process with these individuals?
So I was invited to serve as a support group member by the individual who is leading the organization as a volunteer. So it was by invitation.
Mm, okay.
So you had to have a certain number of skill sets to qualify, I guess you would say, rather informally with those rules. But yes, I was observed and I knew through a business connection that they thought that I would be a good addition to the group.
One of the questions I often hear from solopreneurs is around how to spend their time, mm-hmm. particularly if there's a possibility to be involved in something that doesn't necessarily look on the surface like it is leading to a direct business result. Like, so for an example, someone who might be passionate about a particular political cause who gets involved in work that promotes that cause, even though the specific skill set and the specific service that individual is selling as a solopreneur is not directly related to that political cause. Yet I've seen cases where a situation like that suddenly ends up resulting in unexpected referrals for new business.
Right. And that's really what happened here, that my intention certainly was not to position Finn Enterprises and myself as the person with whom they should work in leading change and transition in their organizations, but rather my intention was to help and support those who were looking to develop a more robust resume and skill sets associated with what they had to offer in the marketplace. But you're quite right, David, that what can and oftentimes does happen is it gives people, other people in the room, an opportunity to observe what you can bring to the table. And then they make their own decisions about connecting those dots. And that's what happened in my case.
Mm. And Susan, tell us a little bit more about what is the core offering that you deliver with your ideal clients?
My ideal clients are organizations, and they can be, I've worked in all sectors, the nonprofit sector for 20 years, leading 7 organizations, but also I worked in private industry as well as in government. So senior leaders who are facing change and transition within their organizations, organizations who are working with boards of directors to lead, whether it's mergers or acquisitions within their organizations or just change generally, those who are, so strategic planning and communications and marketing are the three areas, David. And so I work with organizations in helping them develop project plans, communications plans, and using my expertise in those areas to support their specific goals. In addition, I've also been able to augment that with teaching and coaching around project leadership, management, and communication with team building in their organizations, as well as board governance.
So, Susan, what have you learned as part of your own business development that can help others understand where there may be opportunities for building consistent revenue, particularly when it comes to recurring revenue? Because I know with for people, particularly that are in a consulting role, there are a lot of opportunities that might be more project-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so they end up being much more transactional. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if we're trying to create consistent, stable revenue, very often a recurring revenue model where we know that we can count on X number of dollars per month pretty consistently could be of great benefit.
I think that you've just addressed probably the biggest challenge of solopreneurs, and that is that consistent revenue with a client. And so before that happens, that's the ideal state. So I think my first advice is to do what you love, because it typically what then happens when you're passionate and you're committed and you're trained in that area that you will perform exceptionally well. And nothing like referrals from clients to help build the business. And you never know who's watching. One example in my case, and this was back 25 years ago when I was working as a partner in a firm, the person who was a new employee came to me with a particular problem, and I gave her advice and about what to do, next steps, and told her that I would be supportive of her in what was a difficult situation to address for her, particularly as a new employee. Well, fast forward 25 years later, when she was a board member of the Alzheimer's Association's National Capital Area and remembered that conversation and remembered my reaching out to her. So sometimes you plant seeds and you never know when those seeds will mature. So my advice is to get out from behind your desk, to network with professional organizations, develop those business contacts, volunteer. The other element in helping to develop consistent and sustainable revenue is that the old adage, what goes around comes around. I have received some referrals from my former staff members. So you just never know where it comes from. But my guidance is to make sure you know and have defined your super skill sets, that you deliver excellent work consistently, no matter where you are, and that your volunteer efforts as well can augment planting those seeds and building those relationships. It's all about relationships, and building those relationships can only help to lead to sustainable revenue.
That makes sense. Susan, what kind of mistakes do you see solopreneurs making when it comes to offering to be helpful, as you've just described, at the expense of providing a service where you're receiving a payment?
I think that the answer to that is going to be different for each person. I think what you're going to need to first decide is what, at a very basic level, what revenues you need on a monthly basis to sustain your business, and focus on making sure that those basic needs are met, and then augment them. So it becomes important to really be honest with yourself about what those fundamentals are, those business principles and fundamentals that you need. And then also make time, whatever the percentage is, whether it's 10% of your time, 5% initially, but to make sure that you incorporate that as part of, because it really is a marketing strategy as well as doing good work. It's both.
Right. So I'm hearing echoes of what you said earlier about having a plan, being measured, being structured, being careful, and holding yourself accountable to a certain level of performance, both in Yes. whatever time you're using for volunteering, helping, marketing, as well as time that you're spent delivering results for clients that are paying you.
Exactly.
Right. And being clear where the boundaries are between the two.
For sure.
And if you're not clear to yourself, how can you be clear to other people?
Couldn't agree more.
Susan, what have been some of the keys to your success in learning some of these strategies?
I think one of the first and most important things is to really look in the mirror and be honest about defining not only your purpose, what you love, but what your skills are. So reaching out to, whether it is an executive coach, whether it is a trusted friend, someone who can provide you with honest feedback about what you're good at and what they've observed. The gap can be different from how you perceive yourself and how others perceive you. So it becomes really important not only to get to look in the mirror and get your reflection about what your strengths are, but also to get others' feedback on what your strengths are. You may be limiting yourself unknowingly.
Well said. Susan, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
There are several people that have really inspired me and have also helped me specifically in identifying those very skills and talents that I bring to the table for others. One of them is Nella Barkley, who is president of Crystal Barkley Corporation, and most recently has just joined forces with Spencer Dearling, who coming together for work-life design and have now put together Best Work Incorporated. I think what I've learned most from Nella, not only to inspire me to follow my passion, but also to observe how she not only has followed her passion, but has developed a successful business over more than 20 years to do just that. What also I think is that the combination of the work-life design, and the operative word is design. So you're thinking about it, you're being creative, but then you're putting together a plan. So I think the combination of life work design and her leadership in this area with rigor and discipline around a strategic focus has been exceptionally helpful to me with her being my executive coach. I think another person who has inspired me, I call her my sister by choice. We grew up next door to each other in Chicopee, Massachusetts. She decided at the tender age of maybe 6 or 7 years old that she wanted to be a medical doctor. And Pat had never met a physician, a female physician before, but that undauntedly, she wanted to pursue her passion, and she did. Became a very successful solopreneur after having dedicated a considerable number of years in the VA serving veterans. She went out on her own, and her passion was women's heart health. She's a cardiologist and nuclear physician, and then became a leader in her community, also in the American Heart Association, following that passion. And also, last but certainly not least, is my own mother, who was born in America but was raised in Poland and came back to the United States without the ability to speak English, and decided to follow her passion, which was being a hairstylist, started her own business, and was very successful for 64 years. So a lot of what I learned about solopreneurs was from those three women.
Wow. Susan, what can we look forward to in the near future from you?
Well, I'll tell you the expanding and exciting opportunities I now have to follow my passion for lifelong learning, teaching at Georgetown as well as George Washington University. And now, most recently, I was just received an invitation to teach in the Duke University Project Management curriculum. So expanding my outreach to leaders and emerging leaders in the classroom is, I think, where you'll find me probably in this year and next most often. And so also teaching online, classrooms online, and then also in podcasts like this. So increasing my passion and purpose in the classroom, I think, is where you're going to see me.
Sounds great. And those three schools are certainly great places to do that.
Indeed.
Susan, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
They can follow me by going to LinkedIn. So linkedin.com/IN/Susan-KUDLA F as in Frank, INN-PMP, which stands for Project Management Professional. I'd be delighted to continue the conversation online as well.
Sounds great. Well, Susan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Susan Kudla-Finn, president of Finn Enterprises. Thank you again, Susan, for joining us.
My pleasure.